You are listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. The Salem Witch Trials, they just marked 400 years in 2023. Their legacy remains indelible. You've got Arthur Miller's The Crucible calling out McCarthyism in the 1950s, all the way to today's ubiquitous use of the term witch hunt. Now, The Crucible's hero, John Proctor, is the villain. Or at least he is in the play of that name, currently on stage at the Huntington. It takes a new look at women from the Salem witch trials all the way through hashtag MeToo. And we have two members from the Huntington here. Loretta Greco is artistic director, and Haley Wong is a cast member, plays the preacher's daughter, Raylan, in the show. Loretta, welcome.
Thank you.
And Haley, welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. And I reserve the right to make a mistake and call you Raylan.
I answer to both.
Since I first encountered you in the play.
Yes.
Saw the show earlier this week. Absolutely riveting. So first, congratulations on the show to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. So, Loretta, I want people to understand the background here. The Huntington had a plan. You had plays. You were going to do a set of plays. This is your first year as artistic director. And then you say, to use an old term, hold the phone. We're going to do another one because you were so enamored with John Proctor as the villain.
Yeah. I read this play and I've been doing this a long time. I will tell you, there's less than a handful of plays that I know we have to do before I even turn the last page. And this was one of them. I stalked Kimberly's agent. It was the holidays. I was like, we have to do it. And we pushed something out of the lineup in order to center this play.
Kimberly, remind me Kimberly's last
Kimberly
name.
Kimberly Bellflower, the playwright.
Right,
yes.
Out of the South, who had was intrigued after reading The Crucible, intrigued about this idea of, wait a minute, who are the good guys and the bad guys? After hashtag Me Too. All right, so the play, Haley Wong, takes place in 2018.
Yeah.
As I'm watching it, I'm thinking, it's high school students, right? We've got high school students in a rural town in Georgia who are struggling with a set of issues in their personal lives. They're in a classroom that is teaching The Crucible, and there are a set of realizations, and I won't give it away since it's in the title, right? One is that maybe in The Crucible, John Proctor's the villain. And I found myself thinking, you basically might be playing sort of who you were during that time because of the ages and the casts, the play's commitment to cast young people. How did this play hit you?
I mean, the chance to get to play a character and a story that is so close to home in terms of my age and, you know, what it was like to be in high school around that time when, you know, the Me Too stories were coming out is just the biggest privilege. But I also think it speaks to the universality of the play because even though I was in high school around the time that the girls in the playroom, give or take a couple years, I actually grew up in Hong Kong. So I was, you know, kind of on the opposite side of the globe of a small town in Georgia. And yet this story rings so true to my experience as a teenager, to the experience of my peers and my community. And so I think that, you know, even if, you know, you didn't grow up in a small town in Georgia, this story will speak to you because it spoke to me and spoke to so many people I know.
All right, so I'm going to play a little bit of sound to kind of bring our listeners into this. And all of the sound is courtesy of the Huntington. So we've got a teacher, right, who is teaching The Crucible to the class in the very first scene and invokes a concept from the Salem witch trials. And later we'll come to the difference between the witch trials and The Crucible. But here, Japhet Balaban plays Mr. Smith, and here is a little bit of that.
Lately, we've heard the term witch hunt a lot. People love to use that phrase, right? Its usage has definitely become more casual over time, but originally, it referred to this really dark period in American history that here started in the Salem witch trials in 1692. Over 200 people in Salem, Massachusetts were accused of practicing witchcraft.
Okay, so then we also have, I'm going to do a little bit of where The Crucible actually comes into the show. This is Shelby, played by Isabel Van Natta, and you, Raylan, played by Haley Wong, you, Haley, reading back and forth characters Abigail and Betty from The Crucible.
Fake blood, Abby. You didn't tell him that.
Betty, you never say that again. You will never.
You did. You drank a charm to kill John Proctor's wife. You drank a charm to kill Goody Proctor.
Okay, there's some smashing and something. This is kids and it's high drama. And all of this centers around who makes accusations, who gets believed, who gets to say, nope, I didn't do anything, right? And who gets retribution. And, it, I want everybody who's listening, who's just about to come say that calling John Proctor the villain is fighting words. This is not saying that we're flipping who were the bad guys in the original Salem witch trials on their heads, but this is about rewriting our conversations about who gets to make claims, especially around sexual violence, and who you believe. And Loretta, I am so struck by the look on your face right now.
Well, I think, abuse of power is a real thing, and socialized misogyny is a real thing. And I think taking back the canon, and we're not saying let's ban this play. We're saying let's put a new lens as we look at it, knowing all the things that we know as we're evolving.
So I'm going to pull on one more piece of sound before I come over to you, Haley. So the girls form a feminist club, which becomes sort of a piece of the central workings. The club almost becomes its own character in the play. This is a little bit of sound of Mr. Smith, along with several of the girls. But they're recruiting Mason, the high school jock, who's played by Manav Aryan Goyal, to join the class.
These girls are changing the world. The future is female.
Actually, that's problematic.
The future exists outside of binaries.
The future is intersectional.
Right, so also sort of mirroring this race to understand how we're redefining ourselves, it all comes to play in the classroom. Did you ever feel like you were behind trying to catch up with the themes of this play, playing it, Haley?
I mean, it's so interesting because I think with what these girls are working through in real time in their lives and what's happening in their school, in their town, in the country, in the world, they're kind of racing themselves to figure out what's happening and figure out who's telling them the stories that are shaping their worldview. And I think it does kind of reflect my own experience growing up and trying to figure out what was going on around me, who was getting to say what was right, who was getting to say what was worth listening to. And so I think in that sense, I feel like I was really able to connect very quickly with what these girls were going through because it rings true to my own experience. But yeah.
Like what from your own experience?
I think the experience of being a teenage girl and not trusting that you have an understanding of, what is true and not trusting that you deserve to take up space and speak what you think is right and stand up for what you believe in. I think that in many ways, I was not as brave as these girls in the play who are able to, over the course of the events, figure out what it is that they believe in and what it is that they want to stand up for.
We're here with Haley Wong, who's a cast member in John Proctor is the Villain, and Loretta Greco, who's artistic director of The Huntington and has already told us this is one of a few plays you've encountered where you just knew you had to put it on. All right, we've set everything up. We've told people roughly what the play is about. I've disclaimed that the people who hung people in the Salem witch trials are the bad guys still. We've done all of that. I want to talk, right? Loretta, you and I are closer in generation, certainly, mm-hmm. than you and I are, Haley. I felt like you picked this because you had something you wanted to say, whether it was to your industry or your region or your country. I mean, you're no stranger to breaking ground.
Yeah, it's I think it does have something to say across all generations. There are people that came out opening night that were closer to my age, some that were a decade older, who didn't have words, and we just exchanged a knowing look. I mean, one of the things that I love so much about this writing is that we get to watch these young women in real time question and make discoveries. And they're all on a different trajectory, but they don't go off stage and we don't hear about what they've learned. We're watching them get braver and braver and get more and more curious. And there was just something profoundly empowering about that for me. I'm the oldest of five girls. I have a 22-year-old daughter. I just felt like the play is vibrating. I wish we weren't still talking about these things. I wish we had, we had overcome this challenge. But we know it's a long game. And so I wanted to put these questions and these women in front of our audiences.
So, Haley, you're nodding a lot. Why?
I mean, I just so agree that the experience of watching these young women learn, again, to use your phrase, in real time is so valuable. I think I keep wanting to say, I wish I had been able to see a play like this when I was in high school, because I think it's just so wonderful to have one of the takeaways be question everything. Think about who is teaching you, why they might have a vested interest in teaching you what they are teaching you, and questioning whether or not there's more than one way to be thinking about, any of the things that are coming up in your life.
So one of the things that struck me that I wanted to come back to, Loretto Greco, is the fact we are at 400 years on the Salem witch trials. We have... When I came into the play, I was worried that you were going to challenge our narratives about sort of good guys and bad guys in that piece of history in a way that I wasn't going to know what to do with, right? You challenged lots of things in ways I had to find new things to do with. What struck me was, what challenged me was... If we go back to that history where you have teenage girls who are accusing others, right? It leads to powerful men in a community using the infrastructure of the courts, et cetera, to condemn people. More than 20 people are killed. We recast as, who do you believe, who do you not believe, and believing them becomes the right thing to do. That is a brain bender when we are killing people for being witches. Was there ever, in putting this play on here, any thought that you were disrupting, to use too light a term, a different kind of apple cart than maybe putting this play on somewhere else?
Well, we hoped it would vibrate in close proximity to Salem, right? But, this is universal. It's so specific. I love that Kimberly goes back to her hometown. And yet it speaks to all of us here, right? I mean, I know you guys talked a lot about this in rehearsal. Do you want to add anything to
this? Absolutely. I think one of the main things also that we're thinking about as well is that in the, the thesis or the proclamation of the title, John Proctor is the villain, we are also specifically speaking about The Crucible, the play written by Arthur Miller in
which
the 50s.
Which was designed to call out McCarthyism
in
the 50s.
Yes, and also that, that this is not, an objective telling of history. It's one person's perspective. And, that then to be rigorous historians, to be rigorous English class students, you have to then think about the bias of the person who's telling you that story. I think something that's always so gobsmacking to me is the fact that Arthur Miller aged Abigail Williams up. In the play, she was actually a lot younger in real life. She was not 16 years old.
Keep in mind, John Proctor has an affair. He's an adult man, has an affair with Abigail Williams.
Yes. Right. And so I think that was the thing that we were really wanting to engage with, is not necessarily let's, undo this, but just let's think about how we're telling stories.
And as a sidebar, I'll say we have this robust education program at the Huntington, and Meg O'Brien has convened educators from all over the state, and they're in the process of reimagining the curriculum for The Crucible, just to help educators say, why don't we look at this with a slightly different lens?
Yeah. So while you say that, and I've got a lot of different sound here, just that rethinking, just so everybody can understand the kind of rethinking we're talking about. Here is, I think this is you as Ray Lynn. It speaks for itself.
It's just like John put Elizabeth through so much, like so much, right? And now, he's about to die, and, pretty much as a direct result of what he did, and he doesn't apologize, and he tells her not to cry, and not in a nice way, and says nothing about, let's take a second to figure out how you're going to take care of yourself and our baby when I'm dead.
I want to kind of let it hang out there. I really do, Haley, because we're almost at the end of the show. But do you think this is going to be one of the best roles you ever play?
Oh, my goodness. Certainly up there. It is like the biggest, biggest joy and honor to get to embody this character. I love Raylan. Raylan has taught me so much. I'm so lucky.
All right. Haley Wong does play Raylan in John Proctor is the Villain. And Loretta Greco, who is the artistic director of the Huntington Theater, made sure it got played here. Thanks so much to the both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.